take your Bibles tonight, Acts chapter 16. Acts in the 16th chapter. And I'm going to ask that you stand together one more time. Let you stretch your legs here for just a moment as we read the scriptures together. And our theme tonight is the sacrifice for the gospel. And we've already heard some wonderful testimonies. And again, wonderful preaching. And we've heard the truth. Amen. It has been declared tonight. And I praise the Lord for it. And again, the Lord used it in my heart. And wow, I mean, it was said so wonderfully well. I mean, just spoken exactly. And I don't have anything to add to that. And so we're going to read some scripture. And then I'm going to sit down and just get out of the way. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Oh, well, I'll try to give the little bit of scripture that the Lord's given today and this week and just praying and studying. I believe the Lord does have a message, but I want to be mindful of the Lord. I've never been so settled on the message and unsettled on how to give it. And I have several thoughts and just in my mind sitting back there and listening to those testimonies and how God began to stir in my heart, my spirit this evening. And just want to obey the Lord tonight. So I want to be as brief as I can, but I don't want to get in a hurry. I'm gonna do my best to honor the Lord and honor your pastor and the time that we've given for tonight. And I want to keep it brief, keep it simple, but I don't want to rush through it, if that makes sense. I want to get what God has for us tonight. And so let's read together Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read several verses of Scripture here, a very familiar text to many. And we'll begin reading in verse number 16. "And it came to pass as we went to prayer..." That's a good place to go, amen. "A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Shall we have a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we need you once again tonight to do what we as mortal flesh cannot do. God, it is impossible for me and my flesh to minister to the hearts of your people tonight. Lord, it'll be because of your word and your Holy Ghost working in the hearts of your people tonight. Lord, if anything that good will come of this meeting, it will be because of you. And so, Lord, tonight we want to dedicate ourselves to the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. We ask that you would anoint and fill and flow through each and every one of us. I pray tonight, God, that you would open my heart, open my eyes and my ears to the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I've seen this passage many times, and yet, Lord, I believe you have something for me tonight. I believe you have something for this church tonight and for our missionaries. And Lord, for every single individual here, I pray, God, that you'd give us an ear to hear tonight and to become doers of the word. I pray, God, for a fresh touch and anointing. Lord, that you would, Lord, help me to speak only that which you desire, nothing more and nothing less. And we'll give you the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last night we began with a question. Started the missions conference with, if God wanted to give $1 million through you or through me, could he trust us? What is it that God wants to do through you and through me? What does he want to give through us? And I want to keep that thought in our minds this week, and I want to keep that thought in a different way this evening, but I want to kind of keep it along the lines of that $1 million. You say, preacher, you're talking a lot about money. Well, it's just because $1 million has a lot of value to it. In our minds as Americans, if we could say this would be a simple way of obtaining $1 million, man, everyone would jump at that. I mean, right? I mean, who wants $1 million tonight? Oh, come on now. You're lying to me, right? Everybody, if we were handing out $1 million tonight and said, all right, who wants $1 million? Just, you know, stand up and come up here. Would you sit in your seat? That's a no-brainer, right? I mean, we're, boom, I want to be first. I want to make sure I get mine. And that's the nature. That's human nature. We value that because $1 million is an esteemed worth. It is an estimated value that carries a lot of weight in this world. I mean, with $1 million, what could you do? I mean, what could you do? I don't know, but I'm sure we'd find a good way of doing it. Amen? We could find something to do with $1 million. So you understand the value of $1 million. Now, here's where I want you to stay with me for a few moments. I want to ask you a real personal question. I want you to answer that within your own heart tonight. What is the most valuable possession that you own? What is it that you occupy or you have at your house or in your family heritage, maybe an heirloom, maybe a house, maybe something that you prize and you value and you consider this is of great worth? I want you to consider that tonight. And I want you to consider, would you sacrifice the gospel in order to have the possession that you have now? It's reversed by on purpose, okay? If $1 million means so much to us, would we sacrifice the gospel, push this away in order to have the $1 million? So the question tonight is this: what's more valuable? What is most important? What has the higher value? The gospel or $1 million? The gospel or the family heirloom? The gospel or my house? The gospel or my job? You understand tonight where we're going with this? Because this is a pivotal truth and a question that if we don't get right, then we might as well fold it up and say, all right, we're dismissed. Let's go eat ice cream and have fellowship and not worry about anything else. Because much of the world is doing that. Religion, services, they come and they gather and they do all kinds of things. But what's more important? What's valuable? Is there anything more important or more valuable than the gospel tonight? You have to answer that question in your own heart. I have to answer that in my own heart and in my life tonight. And the thought is this: if there is nothing that we would sacrifice for that possession, we wouldn't give it up for anything. What's the gospel worth tonight? If that's greater worth than $1 million. What am I doing in order to take that? Now understand, listen, we've already received the gospel. And I could reverse the question around and put it this way. If God required money for your salvation, what would you give for it? Ooh, yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. If God said, in order for you to have eternal life, you have to bring me $1 million. Yikes, preacher. How many of us would just stop right there and say, oh, no, that's impossible. Not doing that. Or how many people would work and labor and strive? I want to make it. I want to go. I've got to get $1 million. Thank God that it's a free gift, His eternal life, the unspeakable gift. And yet this gift is free to everyone, not just the United States of America. And yet we think that, well, it's not that important. Well, you can just put anything in there. How many times have I done that? I'd rather, Lord, I want to see you work and I want to see the gospel go forward, but not at the expense of my favorite ... Not at the expense of, you know, what could God do? Well, if God could do anything, and it's nothing's impossible with God. And if we were just to yield our lives, and these missionaries told us that when God told them, yes, man, when duty's in front of you, we just delight to do that because we've been called by God. But yet somehow, in the middle of that, God's people, there's a disconnect somewhere. Whenever it comes down to us being willing to sacrifice maybe time, money, resources, whatever it may be, for the gospel. Did a little word study today. I don't have time to run through all of that. The little word for, the conjunction in that phrase, the sacrifice for the gospel. I encourage you to look up that word and do a little bit of study. It'll help you. We are sacrificing because of what the gospel has already done for us. It's already been paid in full. It's already been finished. Salvation is already complete. And because of that, it really does demand sacrifice. Because of. And that's the question tonight. What are we willing to sacrifice for the gospel? Maybe it's lunch each week for a little while. Maybe it's a promotion. Standing for truth in a world that denies God will not get you promoted a lot of times. You stand for the convictions based upon the Word of God, and you're going to be confronted with that, and you'll either compromise that. And so maybe God's saying, what are you willing to sacrifice? You're willing to sacrifice this amount of money? When I was a freshman, either a senior in high school or a freshman in college, my youth pastor, I grew up in Bradford, Arkansas, and my youth pastor was a commercial fisherman. He was called of God, was a preacher, but his trade, his job to sustain their family was commercial fishing, and he would use nets on the river to catch the fish and to process the caviar, and he made a living by processing fish and caviar, and I'm telling you, I never knew it was. He always told me, he said, it's for people that have more money than they have brains. And just let me tell you, I said, I'll take your word for it. He finally talked me into trying it one time. I don't have any desire to do it again. But it supplied the needs for his family. But I want to use him for a quick illustration. One year he came to me and he said, and we had always talked about planting churches. By the way, he planted a church in Northwest Arkansas about 2 years before we came out here and planted the church in Kansas. And anyways, he had a contract offer from a man up in the Northeast for $1 million for 1 year. 1 year contract. $1 million. You supply the caviar, we'll pay you $1 million. And it was a legitimate thing. And I don't know how much he wrestled with it, but I remember the day that he came and he told me, he said, I turned it down. I said, really? I mean, and I really knew he would, because I knew the kind of guy that he was. But he said, and this is what he said, if I were to take that contract, I would be in bondage to him, to that man, and to that contract in order to receive my wages for that $1 million, and it would motivate me and it would drive me, and I would do everything at the expense of getting that $1 million rather than obeying God and preaching the Word of God. And I said, praise the Lord. And that was a wonderful example and a help to me. I'm just saying, sometimes we're set before us opportunities. What do you sacrifice? Well, really sacrificing that, it's not really giving up that much, is it? You didn't have $1 million to start with. Hey! We think in terms of what we could have. Yeah, but too many people live with what could be. What if? Well, just imagine what we could have. Stop living there. Be content with such things as you have. So tonight, what would you sacrifice? Would you sacrifice the most valuable possession for the gospel tonight? In our text, we find Paul and Silas's sacrifice for the gospel. Now, I want to just share just a few thoughts with you and just have a few moments left. Really, just wanted to kind of whet your appetite tonight, so to speak, and get your mind in gear to begin thinking about what God would ask for you. What is it that God has for you tonight? And that's where it's at. This is South Knollwood Baptist Church, but it's made up of individuals. And every single individual tonight should ask themselves, all of us, myself included, Lord, what is it that you want me to sacrifice? By the way, I'm not exempt from it either. I know I'm a member of another church, but we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, what is it that I must sacrifice? And so I want you to consider just a few simple thoughts this evening here. And first of all, I see here that their sacrifice for the gospel deployed persecutions in their life. The first thing that came was much persecution. You know, we really have it backwards in America. We think that if we'll make a sacrifice for God, we'll do this big thing for God, that all of a sudden God will open it up and our life will be easy. And man, we'll be wealthy, we'll be well known. Why in the world would you sell out for God and automatically think the world's going to applaud you and say, man, put you on a pedestal and say, wow, look at them. Missionaries tonight, has the world ever done that to you in 30 plus years of ministry and serving the Lord? Have they ever stood you up and said, these are famous missionaries, been preaching the gospel in our country all these years? Anybody? I mean, not yet. Well, they should, but you understand the truth of the matter tonight. And that is this, is that the fact is that the persecutions will come. Hey, it's not about me in making the sacrifice for myself. We're sacrificing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to help us understand that, I think of Galatians 2 and verse 20, where Paul stated, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's been the theme for our church. This is the second year in a row. I didn't feel like God wanted us to move off of that. We're still just going there, trying to live in that, where we say, not I, but Christ. Not me, Lord, but you. Not my will, but thy will be done. And I'd love to say that I got it figured out, but I don't. But I'm trying to get there. Not I, but Christ. And oftentimes, churches, we think that we've made such a big sacrifice. Boy, the church wouldn't be there if I didn't give that. Well, that's true in a sense. The only problem is you got the perspective wrong. It's true. God uses people, and we couldn't do what we do without you. But at the same token, the sacrifice isn't for me. It isn't for me to sit back and gloat or to glory in. It's not for me to look at myself and say, boy, I've sacrificed a lot for the cause of Christ. Boy, I tell you what, they wouldn't have what they had down there at the church had I not given that large sum of money. Or had I not painted this, or had I not done this, or whatever the case may be. Just trying to help us tonight recognize and understand, whenever we sacrifice for the gospel, you better believe that there is persecution. These popular modern preachers of today, TV evangelists and many that would promote and preach a health and wealth and a prosperity gospel, give your life to God, everything's going to be wonderful and easy, and oh, it's going to be smooth sailing, and everything's going to be problem-free and pain-free, and you'll never have another. It's just not found in the Bible. The verses that were mentioned tonight, I kind of think that that's pretty hard. I mean, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Last time I checked, that was a pretty hard thing. Now, I will say it is worth it. But it's not, it's simple, but it's not easy. Oh, it's a simple matter, what Jesus requires. But oftentimes, the challenges and the persecutions that come, the Bible tells us in Titus, yea, all that will live godly, or Timothy rather, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hey, the reason why you're not being persecuted, the reason why, hello, Mr. TV evangelist, the reason why, and there's everything going for you, there's no godly living any longer. The Bible does say, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Are we living godly? If you will, and if you are, then guess what? There will be persecution. I'm just trying to help us tonight and help you to understand what to be prepared for, because it is wonderful. It is the best life. It is a joy to live for Christ. But there will be persecutions. Don't be blinded. Don't be naive to believe, well, there's never going to be a problem in my life. I'll never have another pain. No, no, no. It comes. It's all part of it. Jesus suffered, so we're going to suffer. And that's a good thing. It's part of our growing in His image and becoming like Him. Here they sacrifice their lives all for the sake of the gospel. We don't have time to go through all of it tonight. Just wanted to share a few thoughts. But boy, it displayed their persistence. They were beaten. You can study the verses there. They were beaten. They were thrown into prison, and they were thrown into the inner prison, and their feet were held in stocks. I mean, that jailer, he didn't want one chance of them escaping. I mean, he went to the prison. He said, all right, you're going down deep. You're going to the inner prison. Unbolt the door, throw them down, fasten them down. Don't let them have a chance of escape. What he didn't know was it was no match for the power of God. Amen. When you sacrifice, you're going to get to see not only there will be persecutions that will come, and it'll be a display of persistence, whether or not you quit. How many people do you know that have just turned back? They've given up. They've went back on their commitment to God. Hello, amen. Many times we know people who've fallen prey to that and said, you know what, it's too hard. It's too difficult. I didn't sign up for that. Been many times where I committed to God and I had made the sacrifice, and that initial one was, yes, Lord, I'm going. Boy, there's a lot of excitement. But what happens when the new wears off? About 2 years, the new starts wearing off, and you're left with just a few, and things start to fall apart. You need to be tested. Are we going to stick with it? Are we going to stay faithful to God? Are we going to honor God because He called us? He's the one that requires the sacrifice. We've done it for Him, but now that everything's gone bad, I guess it's time to pick up stakes, pull up the, you know, pack up the tent, and let's move on. Right? I mean, it's all based upon statistics. It's all based upon results. I mean, you didn't know that? I mean, that's what the world's telling you. It's all about success, and it's all about results. And if you don't have a large congregation and things aren't going your way, then man, get a new job. Go to another church. Find a new ministry. I mean, do something, because it's got to go our way. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Here, you do believe your Bible, right? We do believe this. They were beaten with how many stripes? Many stripes. We don't even know how many that is, but the Romans, they were known for putting stripes on people, numerous ones. In fact, it was the Romans that whipped our Lord. Just asking the question tonight, what's it going to take to stop you? Or when you made that sacrifice, were you all in and said, God, here am I. Use me. Boy, we see several truths here. I don't want to take much longer here, but notice this, and we'll wrap this up. There's so much more, but it demanded prayer and praise. You can't sacrifice for God without getting on your knees. You're going to have to fall on your face. And God might, it might be in the midst of that trial. It might be in that persecution. It might be in that time frame. Something's going on. You're tested whether or not you're going to stay. Be tested. What happens when you make the commitment this week on Sunday and God says, I want you to give this amount? Lord, we're willing to sacrifice whatever in order for the gospel, for this money. You do realize that all the money we give to missions, you could use it for lots of other things. But we believe God and we understand what missions is all about. It's getting the gospel out. And so because of that, we're willing to sacrifice so that the gospel can go out, so that missionaries can go to the field, so that they can hand out Bibles and pass out tracts and preach the gospel to the lost in places that we can't go. So what happens 6 months from now? When you make that commitment to God and then it begins to get a little bit difficult and tight. What happens when maybe the job is gone? The income dips. Come on, don't fall asleep now, all right? Because this is where it's going to level out to in a couple of months. The hype and the joy of missions conference is just going to be like, well, we don't have money to pay the missions commitment this month, preacher. Man, we're sure sorry. Hello? Anybody home? And we're going to be tested with that. Okay, so what do you do? Oh, Lord, we've got to have you. And we thank you for the difficulty. We thank you for the darkness that you placed us in. You see, the world today, these contemporary churches, they've got it backwards. They always want to talk about praise and worship. Worship always precedes praise. Every single time in your Bible, you'll find worship that's private, praise is public. And you'll go down in worship before you go up in praise. Paul and Silas lay in stocks in the inner prison, and here they were persecuted. Why? Because they'd sacrificed their lives for the sake of the gospel so that people could hear about Jesus, how much he loved them. And what did they get for that? What kind of thanks did they get? Thrown in jail. Beaten with many stripes, fastened in chains in the innermost part of the prison. Now, what do you think that they're doing? Silas, I'm sorry, we sacrificed. I'm sorry I got you in this mess, son. Silas argued back, Paul, I wish I'd have never came. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know it was going to be this hard, Paul. Why didn't you tell me? Now we don't hear that. We hear they prayed. They prayed. They prayed, bowing humbly before God. And I believe that prayer, that worship, and that thanksgiving, because you can't pray, really pray, without thanking God and thanking Him for who He is. And then all of a sudden, that prayer bursts forth into praise. And you say, what kind of praise was it? It was singing. Kind of might have been something like this. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controlled, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Hey, man, I can just imagine Paul and Silas after they prayed, they started singing praises, and guess what? Everybody heard them. They weren't just over there saying, keep it down, Silas. You're getting a little too loud. You're a little off key. No, guess what? They were singing praises to God, being fastened in chains in the innermost part of the prison with blood still running down their backs, stripes upon them. And yet we find that in the middle of that persecuted prison there, that they're praising God, glorifying God. Hey, listen, what is the need tonight is for God's people to sacrifice. It's for God's people to say, God, whatever you desire, I'm willing to do. And whenever the problems come and the pain comes and the pressure comes, we're just going to stay at it. We're going to trust you because it is about faith, right? And we're just going to get on our faces before God. And we're going to just go ahead and praise you. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? Even in the valley, he's still good. And no matter where you will be over the next year or in the course of your life, you'll find that whatever you've sacrificed for him will always be worth it. I've never met one Christian who came to the end of their life and said, boy, I wish I would have never given that to the church. I wish I'd have never given my life to God. I wish I'd have never went to the mission field. You know what I always hear? I wish I'd have done more. I wish I'd have given a little more. I wish I could have had a little more time to spend reaching people and praying and worshiping God. I wish I'd had a little bit more. May that be our prayer tonight. With that in mind, the greatest sacrifice in your Bible is the most familiar and quoted verse that we've learned from our youth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That was a sacrifice. And truly, as was stated, can it really be called a sacrifice if a heavenly King calls us to His service? Whew. May God help us tonight. You see, the question is, with all of that value that we place on things, we've got values. $1 million ranks way up there. Maybe a fine house and land and all the different things. Whether you are willing to sacrifice or not is really dependent upon this one thought, where Paul said again, not I, but Christ. It was the missionary James Calvert who was getting ready to sail to the Fiji Islands. The islands were known for their cannibalism. And as James Calvert boarded that ship, the captain of that ship pleaded with him. He said, Mr. Calvert, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't go to those islands. You know what will happen. You and your people will be killed. To which Mr. Calvert replied, sir, we died a long time ago. What it's going to take for sacrifice tonight is for God's people to come to the end of themselves, to die to self, to reckon ourselves dead, yield to God, and let God just do what He wants. And here's what you expect. Nothing that you expect in the flesh. So I got all these things lined up. It probably won't go how you expect it to. It can't if it's going to be by faith. And so may God help us tonight.